So today, we are starting a new series called Generational Blessings, and I am super excited about this. This is something that I'm very passionate about, and I'm really glad that God gave me the green light to bring it to you as a church. So in our world today, we think of things in the here and now, right? The immediate. Right here, right now, this is what we got to focus on. It's so much about our job, our career, taking the next step. We got to do what we got to do. We got to own the day. We got to take care of me. We got to be self-sufficient. We got to be self-contained. We got to take care of what I got to take care of, right? That's our world. There was a time, however, when people thought beyond themselves. In fact, that has happened in our world a whole lot more than it hasn't. They had to think about generations in the past. The people that would come behind them, farmers, would have to clear a field with the consideration that their children and grandchildren would eventually farm it. Parents would work hard to establish a homestead, a business, financial wellness, not for their retirement, not for their nest egg, but for their children to be blessed with, to inherit, and to carry on. Many modern Americans tend to think of our own lives, and if marriage and kids are part of the equation, then our children and maybe our grandchildren. But this series, I want you to look at God's perspective of generations. I want you to look at God's perspective of families. So let me read off some of the verses from the Word, 13 different verses from the Word that tells you about what God's vision of family is. Genesis 9:12 says, "And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." Perpetual generations. I love that word. Perpetual generations. Keeps going and going and going. Genesis 17:7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you." Genesis 50:23, "Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought on Joseph's knees." Exodus 3:15, "Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." Exodus 12:14, "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord through your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it a feast." Leviticus 23:43, "That your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell with booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Joshua 22:28, "Therefore we said that it will be when they say this to us or to the generations in time to come that we may say, here is the replica of the altar of God which our fathers made, though not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness to you and to us." Psalm 49:11, their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Joel 1:3, "Tell your children about it, and let your children tell their children, and their children the next generation." Ephesians 3:21, "To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." I could go on for another 20 minutes. There are so many verses, passages, stories, family lines, bloodlines that demonstrate the power of family, the power of generational blessings in our word, in our playbook. These verses demonstrate an important aspect of God's character. He is the Lord of history. He is the Ancient of Days, who is weaving together the stories of individuals, generations, and nations into his eternal purpose. He sees our lives in the context of the big picture. His purpose and plan are greater than any individual and continues from generation to generation. That perspective might be hard for us individualistic Western culture people to grasp, to understand. But I hope it provides a necessary correction to our natural way of viewing ourselves in the world. Our generation, our family, our presentation through God's eyes in the big picture is pretty powerful. And it doesn't just include little old me. If we are truly set apart and leveling up in our relationship with the King, if we are dead to our old selves and alive in Christ, we will be allowing Holy Spirit to guide us into seeing things from God's point of view and not our own. That's why I feel it's so important that we spend time focusing on family and on generational blessings as a church family. It's incredibly comforting to me to know that God is faithful to his covenant over multiple generations. We often hear about generational curses, talk about it all the time, but we don't talk enough about generational blessings. There is a comfort and healing found in family, right? Back when I lived in Missouri, I was fighting to be fiercely independent. I didn't think about how much family meant to me. I didn't think about how important family was. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. But then after I broke my back, I knew that I had to be close to my family. I needed to be close to my family. I needed their comfort, their support, their love, and the peace that being with my family only could bring. And before we get too further along, I want to acknowledge, and I realize that some of you don't have close relationships with blood relatives, but these messages are for you too. For two reasons. Number one, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the same Heavenly Father. We are family. So we live in and out of the general blessings and promises of Father Abraham, which we talked about last week. And this is for you too, because although you can't control or change the past, you certainly have control of your future. And you can now be focused on your perpetual generations. Doesn't matter that you may come from a family that doesn't know that. You know it now. And you can break those curses and you can set the stage. And what you do now will affect your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren for many, many generations to come. The ways of the past do not have to be the ways of the future. Amen? And honestly, I don't know too much about the spiritual condition of my ancestors beyond my grandparents, but I do know that I have battled some serious strongholds in my life that I believe were generational curses. But thankfully, my parents, who are here today, and my grandparents began that new legacy for our family. One of God's favor, and I'm happy to say, I'm proud to say, and I'm honored to say that those curses have been broken. My parents leaned into their faith, and with the help of our Lord, they set the stage for many blessings to come for me and my family. And you're looking at one of them as I stand here before you today. And I intend to keep this going, to pass it along to my daughter and my son, future generations, and my prayer is that this sermon series and this focus will help and teach you to do the same. And now, as a pastor, I have a very unique perspective on how generational blessings and family anointing works because I see it in my kids. Some of you know, but my kids, Abby and Zachariah, live in two very different households. My house, obviously, we follow the Lord and we try to do everything that He wants us to do and we live the way the Word teaches us. And their mom's house is not like that. Mom's not a believer. My children literally have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They are in between with what they think, what they believe, what they understand, and which is why, number one, I humbly ask for your prayers, and number two, I thank you because you show the love of Christ to my kids. They see who God is through you, and I thank you for that. But here's what's interesting. Here's why I bring this up. They carry the same anointing, the same generational blessing that I do. I received it from my parents, from my dad, the pastor, from my mother, the caregiver and prayer warrior, and I now see it in my kids. Through COVID, Abby struggled a lot. She was like 11 to 13. Those are those formidable social years, right? She struggled a lot. But once COVID ended and she went back to school, she started to blossom. And her natural love and empathy for others shined. And kids from all walks of life and different cliques and different friend groups and different circles all gravitated towards her. And she loves on all of them. She sees them for who they are. She doesn't care about what they do. And people feel comfortable in her presence. That is God's presence in her life. That is the generational blessing that is passed on from my parents to me to her. And Zach, well, we call Zach Pastor Zach for a reason. He used to study his Bible for hours, and he would sing every worship song that was on the radio. He would have adult conversation about biblical perspectives. This last year, he's backed off a bit because he's getting older and he's starting to realize mom's a whole lot different than dad, and I don't like this, and I do like this, and he's kind of in between, like we said. But his foundation is strong. And he isn't the most social kid. Zach loves to keep to himself. He's very watchful of others around him, but he doesn't interact much. But I will tell you, he still carries that same anointing. A few months back, we were at West Seneca West High School for Abby's holiday concert. She plays cello and orchestra. And Zach and I were hanging out outside waiting for Abby to come out. And he's staying by himself, not talking to everybody. And one by one, every little kid from the elementary school that knew him was like coming over. "Hey, Zach, how you doing, Zach? It's so good to see you, Zach." And he's like, "Yeah, okay." But although he barely acknowledged him, Mr. Antisocial or Mr. Joe Cool, not sure which one he was feeling that day. But once again, that was a Holy Spirit nudge. He was like, "Hello, see what that is? That is the generational blessing. That is the promise I have for your family. That is the promise I have for your kids. They have it." Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "He is faithful. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations." Amen and amen to that. And I firmly believe that my family and many families in this church will live out his covenant for many generations to come. Just look around the sanctuary. There are families here that have been here for 3-4 generations. The generational blessings of Kenmore Baptist Church is right in our face. There's 3 generations of families here today. How amazing is that? This isn't just from a habit. This isn't just from, it's what we do on Sunday mornings. This isn't just from a family routine or a ritual. This is the presence of the Lord in your family. This is the presence of the Lord in this church. And it is a generational blessing. Amen? Let's look at today's text. Psalm 112, verse 1. "Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." Like several other sections of the Psalms, this psalm begins with a hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This was both the personal praise of the psalmist and an exhortation, an invitation for all of us to praise him. And if we go back to Psalm 111, we see that it ended with the idea of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now the psalmist explains the blessedness of the one who does fear the Lord. The fear that the Bible is talking about here is a profound reverence. That is, we are trying to revere God or stand in awe of him. It's not fear and trembling. It's not, "Oh, I'm hiding from his power. He's going to shoot lightning bolts down." But no, it's standing in awe and wonder of how incredible he is. This blessed one does not fear God in a sense of misery or reluctant obligation. The psalm speaks of ones who delight greatly in God's commandments and enjoys living in God's will and doing his work. And as always, King Jesus is our example. Think of the great measure of blessedness upon King Jesus when he was on this earth. No one revered God the Father as he did. No one delighted in the Father's commandments as much as King Jesus did. And we should do our best to do the same. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. The one who fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments has God's blessing on his family. The psalmist pronounced blessing on the descendants of this man, the one who is upright. And mighty here, the word mighty is being used as a recognition of stature or standing, rather than being physically strong. Influential, respected, appreciated. Others are drawn to the descendants, just like I described with Abby and Zach, right? That's the blessing. They're drawn to, they're mighty in stature. So what can we take from this? Well, the first thing that I see and feel is that if anyone should desire to leave a legacy for generations to come, it wouldn't be done with accumulating money, gold and silver and land to leave them, but it will be found in recognizing God and serving him, and dedicating his descendants to the guardianship and the protection of the Most High. That's where it starts. And praise the Lord, we as a church family get to see that in a few minutes. Dedicating our children to the guardianship and protection of the Most High. Wealth and riches will be in his house. The psalmist also pronounced a blessing on the economic life of the one who fears the Lord. Their life of obedience and honor to God means God's blessing will also come to their financial dealings. Now, hear me. This doesn't necessarily mean the wealth of the world. Yes? We are blessed according to his riches in glory, not according to the kind of car we drive or how much money we have in the bank or how many acres are in our backyard. Our God will supply all of our needs exceedingly and abundantly when we are following and surrendering to him. That is true wealth. And here is your weekly Spurgeon quote. Understood literally, that this is rather a promise of the old covenant than of the new. For many of the best of people of God were very poor. Yet it has been found true that uprightness is the road to success. And all things being equal, the honest man is the rising man. Let me say that again. The honest man is the rising man. Dealings with money in this world and the way the world does it and sees it is not very honest, huh? His righteousness endures forever. This blessed man's good works and right standing with God are lasting. They will not fade in this world, nor in the world to come. 1 Kings 15:1-4 says, "Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam began to reign over Judah. He reigned there for 3 years in Jerusalem." Here we go. "His mother's name was Maacah, and daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins that his father did before him," generational curses, "and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father." Here we go. "Nevertheless, for David's sake, the upright one, the one that pursued God, the one who was after God's own heart, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem." That is generational blessings. So you see from this text, just as the generational curses can be a real thing, generational blessings are a real thing. Many Christians today are standing in for their entire generation, so very well you could be the David of your generation. You could be the David of your family, the one who makes God want to visit your descendant with blessings, exceedingly and abundantly. God does not forget his people's good deeds. He did not forget David. So family, let us lean into this grace. Let us surrender to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and be the light that attracts blessings for generations to come. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises to bless our families from generations to come. Perpetual generations. Lord, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the work you're doing in our hearts to get us there. Lord, help us to remove all the blinders and all the blocks that may be keeping us from you. And I thank you in advance for blessing every family in this church, every family that's connected to this ministry. And we thank you for the general blessings that are still to come. In Jesus' name, amen.